her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count.
I can report.
Just like a mountain, you heard about it.
Mark Chamura looks good in lederhosen.
Yeah, did a great job.
This is a great outfit that we got. Chewy's better half, Angie, sending us a photo this morning from his adventures at Oktoberfest. He's got the tall socks. He's got the brown vest. He's looking like he's having a good time over there.
I think he pulled it off. The only thing he's probably going to struggle with at this point is drinking beer, because I don't think he's had a beer in like a decade. Like, he's exclusively wine. Every once in a while, I think he's had a mixed drink. I mean, because I've asked him, when's the last time you had a beer? I think it's close to a decade. And I'm not sure how the Germans are going to take it when you're like, actually,
can I have a Chardonnay?
It's a little bit different what they're serving over in October.
Wasn't he telling us he was concerned about going to the bathroom?
Wasn't he telling us he was concerned about
how to get the lederhosen off
correct.
In order to, you know, take care of business? I wonder how that's going. Feels like a conversation I don't necessarily want to have with Chewy's wife, who sent the photograph to us. Because Chewie's not allowed to use his phone overseas, which is what I was told.
Well, my guess is he got in trouble for using his phone from overseas when he was texting us earlier this week.
Roaming charges and whatnot type of thing.
I think, but it's only like $10 a day
if you sign up for it, right?
No, so like when I was in Scotland last year, I did not sign up for it, and it's just automatic.
Oh, it just kicks in.
Yeah, if I have my phone on and I'm using data, then it's $10 a day.
Yeah, that seems
so
like,
I guess it depends. It probably depends from carrier to carrier. Verizon, I didn't have to sign up for anything, and Verizon just charged me $10.
That seems a little steep for Chewy's blood, by the way. $10 a day? He spends $10 on his illegal streaming service a month.
Yeah, so I'm looking
I have a prediction of what actually happened. He thought he was on the Wi-Fi at the hotel he was at.
And he was not.
He was not. And then they got the, hey, would you like to be charged? And they're probably saying, we'll just use Angie's phone to use when it's international, we could save ourselves the $10, $20, $30, $40 throughout. And then they said, yep, you're done. That's my prediction.
Not allowed anymore.
She just took his phone away. So looking at his lederhosen in the picture, there are no zippers, there are no buttons in the area in which you would need that. So I'm guessing he's just going to unhook the suspenders and...
Yeah, it's like when a woman is wearing a romper, you know, you're just...
Yeah, but the difference between the romper... And when you go to the bathroom and you're a woman, it's individual stalls there, Jen. You've got a door, you've got walls. If you're going to use the urinal, it's a little bit of a different story. Don't have the privacy that one has.
This is a detail that I was not thinking about, actually. Now that you mention it, I was not thinking about the layout of the men's restroom, international or otherwise. Now, the reason I bring up the restroom, I don't know if you've picked up on this yet, gang. I am struggling. Woke up at 5:45 this morning. You know, scrolled through the old Twitter, scrolled through the old show sheet, made sure to read up on some articles, finally got myself out of bed at 6 a.m., went and got dressed, went downstairs, started making breakfast, brushed my teeth, all of these things. What did I forget to do, Gabe?
You didn't go to the bathroom. Wait, you brushed your teeth and you didn't go to the bathroom? What is the order of operations here? How is this not the first thing? Like, literally, my feet hit the floor in the morning.
Walking straight there.
It's I understand. Like, we're fortunate. We have a bathroom that is attached to our bedroom in our house, so there's no hallway walking down. It's probably six steps from my side of the bed over to the bathroom. But the first thing I'm doing is, before I brush my teeth, before I take a shower, before I put my contacts in, before anything else, the first thing that happens every single morning when I wake up is a pee.
I did all of those other things. Order of operations wise, yes. Typically, the moment my feet hit the floor, I am walking straight. I am beelining to the toilet and taking care of business. But this morning, I got distracted. I was doing other things. Baby girl woke up, as she often does. I've expressed this to you in the morning. She's out of bed as soon as I'm out of bed. And so I'm chatting with her and catching up because I was traveling the last few days. So, and then we go downstairs. So I brush my teeth. I put my contacts in. I wash my face. I did all of those bathroom things. And then
No, you got to skip one of those.
She was going
to potty.
You got to
skip one of those. Those are all not as important as relieving yourself. Those are not as important. Like, come in with your glasses. Who cares? Come with the glasses on.
It's true. Like, and remember, I have all those toothbrushes in my bag that someone sent me that one time after I forgot to brush my teeth. I could have done that on the road.
Correct. You've got other outlets. Like, the fact that you spent that much time in the bathroom without using the bathroom is a little concerning.
How long do you think you could go in the morning from the time you wake up till the time you are in emergency mode?
Half hour?
That's to say 5 minutes.
Because usually that first one of the morning is...
Yeah, gotta go. got TCB here.
Emergency.
There was times when my dog was a puppy and it would be like, oh no, this is an emergency time. And I would forget or not go. I would prioritize his needs. And then I'd be standing outside doing the, oh no, I might have to like hide behind a tree here.
Cause just in the middle of the city.
Because my body's so trained that instantly that's the first thing I do.
And you have that luxury. The other day, Dario and I were outside doing something and he was like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I just saw him walk around the corner, like, you know, take care of it and show back up like 2 minutes later. And I was like, God, you guys are so lucky to be able to do that. So then I get in the car to come to work and I'm thinking, oh, I got to go to the bathroom, man. You know, and then I get here and I do the TMJ hit at 6:50 and that goes until 6:59. So then I walk in here at 6:59 and now it's 7:08 and I've got the shaky leg because I need to go to the bathroom.
The fact that, again... I can understand, like, you got distracted, your kid woke up, you're downstairs, but the fact that you are in the bathroom, you know, again, if time got away from you because you were making breakfast, you were doing all these things, and you just couldn't get there because, again, you had to take care of your daughter, that's understandable. The fact that you spent time in the bathroom with the toilet seemingly at most 5 feet away...
Yeah.
And didn't take care of business?
If you fall over, you probably hit it.
I did say, though, that it was occupied for at least a portion of that time. Probably that small window of when I finished brushing my teeth, finished putting my contacts in, and finished washing my face, and I'm patting my face with the towel, and I look over, and baby girl's using the potty, and that's very important as well. And I'm like, all right, we're moving on to the next phase of the morning. And it got lost in there.
You did all of those things. Again, the fact that you walked into a bathroom and went, oh, yeah, I'm going to brush my teeth, wash my face, put my contacts in, all before you just take a little time for yourself, it's a little concerning.
This is an excellent question coming in from Jeff in Elkhorn this morning on the Carbless Talking Text Line. He says, was there a bathroom break during sleep? Sometimes if I go in the middle of the night, then the morning pee isn't as urgent. Yes. I am on a regular scheduled 3:30 pee at this point in my life.
Don't even need an alarm?
Just wake up, use the bathroom, go back to bed. This happens as we get older. You know?
Okay, I feel like that is an important clarification.
Yes.
Because had that not happened, I don't know how your seat's not wet right now.
This is an excellent point. So it is not as DEFCON as it would have been without the regular middle of the night waking up to go to the bathroom.
So there was some relief between... when you last went last night, before sleep, and now. There was some relief in there.
It would appear, yes. It's Frankie weighing in saying, I gotta say, if I'm dealing with water running when I'm brushing my teeth and washing my face, the urge to use the bathroom is that much intensified.
Great point. A little bit of running water.
And then Darren is weighing in saying, how can you do all of that in an hour before work? That is a razor-thin margin to get prepped and arrive at work. Do you live next door to the studio? No, this is just the story of my life. Gabe, I feel like this is something that you have often wondered.
Yeah, no, the fact that she wanders in here when she does is impressive.
I think razor thin margin is perfect.
Yeah.
You are a stubbed toe away from being late some mornings. We're kind of close.
But again, this is the person who once tried to book a flight. The airline would not allow her to do it.
No way.
Because the layover period was too tight. So then she booked those two flights as single flights.
Thank you. I appreciate you reminding the people of exactly what we're dealing with.
Like,
yes.
The airline
said no, but I said...
But Jen said yes. And... in her defense, she was correct.
I did make it, yes.
And she did make it.
Video that adventure for everyone to see. Now, I don't know that I would do that again. And yes, this time of year, guys,
you wouldn't do that again?
I don't know.
Got away with it. Of course you're going to do that again.
You do this cute thing where you try and pretend that we don't know you're going to do that exact thing again.
Like, again, that was a very specific instance where, because you were trying to get to, you're going on vacation with some of your girlfriends, and I can't remember specifically. specifically where you're going. So it was a very specific situation, and you were trying to get there because you couldn't take the flights that everybody else was taking. So it was a very specific situation. But should that arise again, you're going to do it again.
Maybe. Yesterday, guys, speaking of travel, I was in East Lansing. I was at Michigan State University. So the travel to East Lansing from here is obviously you fly from Milwaukee to Detroit. It's an hour and a half drive from Detroit to East Lansing, and you go that way and you go that way, there and back. Well, we wrapped up yesterday in time that it was faster for me to drive home than it was for me to catch my 9:30 flight. So I was supposed to go from East Lansing back to Detroit to catch a 9:30 flight that would have landed at Milwaukee at 9:30. I would have gotten home by 10 p.m. But we ended up finishing around 5 p.m., and it's a five-hour drive from East Lansing to, for normal people, it's a five-hour drive from East Lansing to Milwaukee, and you get the time change back. You get the hour back. So I ended up getting home at 9 p.m. last night as opposed to 10 p.m., and that, for me, was worth it. And when I told my husband, he was like, only you think that driving 5 hours is better than driving an hour and a half and flying 30 minutes.
I don't think you're the only one there.
Yeah?
I think other people would do that.
Would you do that, Joshy?
No, heavens no. No. I don't think of time the same way, like, as literally as you do, where it's like X equals this amount of time, Y this. I'm thinking, what's easiest? What's the best for my mental health? What's the best for what I want to do?
Yeah, but sometimes that drive can be good for the mental health.
It was
health.
So good. And I was saying that to my girlfriend on the phone, because I got to call my girlfriends.
Yeah, you can catch up with some people.
Did all that, listen to some podcasts. Now you can do that on the plane. But I was saying there was something about driving an hour and a half to Detroit, taking the rental car to the rental car place, getting on the shuttle, going to the airport, going through security, it would have been like 2 hours of time to sit there and wait for the 9:30 flight. Like, there was something about that that felt much more daunting than making a zip around the lake. You know, going through Kalamazoo, zipping around the lake, bypassing Chicago, going past O'Hare and kicking up to Milwaukee. That felt a lot easier, and I am thrilled at that decision that I made.
So the question then becomes, what was the dinner of choice on the road last night?
The Oasis.
Okay.
Was there a fast food
restaurant? I don't want to say this out loud. I don't want to tell this.
So what I know about Jen, I would assume that it was a Rome of the Dropper. You know, you got an opportunity, you know, get a dropper and take that on the way home.
No, I stopped at the Oasis and I got the Panda Express plate.
Yeah.
You were eating Panda Express mobile, or did you eat there?
Nah, she did it mobile. You know she did. You know she did that mobile.
Rice and orange chicken isn't my first mobile idea. Thinking more handheld.
That's why I didn't want to say this out loud.
See, so whoever has to clean your car is going to be picking up rice kernels for 2 hours.
Is Panda Express the worst thing to have when you're making a drive?
The only thing I can think of worse, and this
soup,
this still fascinates
now,
me.
Now, soup might be easier.
The fact that there are still Fazoli's that have drive-through windows and the image of eating spaghetti
pasta. Trying to twirl it on your fork at the stoplight.
I didn't want to have to tell you guys that. Now everyone's judging me for forking orange chicken on the drive home.
Hey, look, I get it. Sometimes you know you're on the road and you're like, hey, you know what would hit? A little bit of that Panda Express orange chicken. And it's not, look, Panda Express, I feel, is harder and harder to find.
Uh-huh.
Like it's not as popular as it once was. So if you come across it and you got a hankering, I get it. I get it.
Here's the difference, I think, between at least me and what I would just say. Well, I'm going Panda Express. I'm going to take the 10 minutes to eat here and finish it so I'm not trying to mobile eat.
But that would have defeated the purpose of driving entirely.
What?
Right?
Because you got home at 9:10 instead of 9?
That's what I was saying to my husband. I said, how early do I have to get home in order to make this drive worth it? He's like, at least an hour. I said, okay, well, then.
Yeah,
challenge accepted.
Now it's a challenge.
All right.
Now we're proving points.
Got to take a break here on Jed Gamich. We all warmed up, all stretched out. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. Obviously, big game this week. Packers versus Cowboys. We'll talk to him about that. Micah Parsons going back to Dallas. And it sounds like he knows exactly where his gang will be sitting for that game. Plus, we're going to talk about your Brew Crew, one win away from a franchise record for victories. What a year it has been. We'll reflect on all of that as they have the off day, but finish up the season with the series this weekend at AmFam Field. Gabe?
When a customer chooses Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, one of the most important things to Pella is honoring that trust and commitment, because they understand that one of their experts coming into your house, that can be a lot, because some people have the apprehension coming into the house. But look, as somebody who has gone through the process, had the experts from Pella Windows and Doors come in, took a look at some of my windows. Yeah, you should be pretty good here, we think. But let's talk about this front door. And I have a new, brand new front door that I love on our house. And again, that can be overwhelming too, because there's so many customizable options. But they walk in there and they are there for you every step of the way. The vision for Pella is to be the company that people want to do business with. So order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
Ready to down. Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
We love getting the latest from our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We are good. I just went to the bathroom for everybody keeping score at home, so we are feeling much better than we were when the show started 23 minutes ago. Jason, I love a little self-awareness. I love people who are able to say, you know what? I stink. And it seems like the offensive line for the Green Bay Packers is well aware of that, since what we heard coming out of the locker room yesterday. What was the exact quote from, it was Elgton Jenkins, right?
Well, yeah, that's not too exact.
Oh, no, we can't exact quote.
I feel like I played like poopy. But he didn't say poopy.
Insert the poop emoji here.
Yeah, I didn't realize. So, you know, that was a response to my question. It was Tom Silverstein and I that were talking to him, and it was like very rarely, especially now when guys, you know how to, I mean, except for Rashid Walker, of course, know how to answer questions without really making any waves. It was jarring. It was a jarring answer. Like, I was like, whoa, okay. And then I should have sent, I have the audio on my phone. I should have sent it to Joshy, but I figured since he used the potty mouth word, I guess we can beep it out. So I'll send that along. But yeah, Elgton and I obviously have a great relationship with him. Been on the show a few times. He's a stand-up guy. So I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised. I mean, he was terrible against the Browns. Like, he had that one sack where he completely overset and whiffed. But what was interesting about the conversation was that, and again, this is why practice matters, and it's also why you have to be, to Jen's point, self-aware, is that he said the defensive linemen that he's played with, including Kenny Clark, who he's looking forward to seeing on Sunday night, have always talked about how aggressive he is with his pass protection. You know, Tausch will tell you that his technique was always to absorb guys, and he felt like he could anchor really well, take that first hit, and then he could really control them, and he was a great pass protector. Elgton is more aggressive, and so he's more taking the fight to them. And what he said subsequent to that part of the answer was, I have to learn that I can't be as aggressive as I was at guard, and I have to sit back, and I have to be able to see the whole field. And so, you know, and that's stuff that, you know, if you're not going to play in preseason or hardly play in preseason, and if you're missing time in practice and you have the contract thing that unfortunately it took until games started to really kind of appreciate how he needed to change his game. And I would push back a little bit on him and just say, you know, the line was pretty good against Detroit and Washington, maybe not great in the run game, but pretty good in the pass protection game. So I'm not sure it's quite as bad as he described it, but it has not been good enough. There's no denying that.
So do the Packers share some of that blame, Jason, for asking him to change position and not guaranteeing any money beyond this year, and therefore helping create the situation of that led to him missing OTAs in minicamp?
Sure. I mean, you can look at it from that perspective, or you can look at it from, you know, oh, well, we didn't give him any money because we didn't think he was going to be that good at this position, so we didn't want to commit anything to him, right?
Well, the general manager's on the record saying he can be an all-pro at center.
Correct.
So.
Totally the next thing I was going to say. I'm with you. So, I've noticed that my critiques of both the quarterback and the general manager tend to be viewed as harsh because I actually critique them. So, look, right now the offensive line, I don't know, like Goody's got a lot of really good things that he's done. There's no denying that, and I have always acknowledged all of them. But based on the way Aaron Banks has played and what he's dealt with, based on Elton, by his own admission, playing the way he has, the fact that they're moving Jordan Morgan every place except tight end, and he's played the way he has. And look, he's a guy that has flat out said he wants to be the left tackle. Well, you have to win the job, and he hasn't won the job. But maybe he's not, like I was talking to Elton about this after the other stuff, maybe he's not like Elton Jenkins. Maybe he's not like Zach Tom. Maybe he's not that versatile. Maybe he's a left tackle. You know, our teammate Brian Bulaga, who was a fantastic player for the Packers, will tell you, and I tease him for it, but it was because he's self-aware too, I could not play guard. I was terrible at guard. And so Brian was a tackle, short arms and all. He was either a left tackle or a right tackle, but you weren't putting him at guard. And I don't think they've put Jordan Morgan in a position to be successful. I mean, he's literally now, if you count training camp practices and preseason games, he has played in the past 2 months every position on the offensive line except center. And I'm not even sure he's a jack of all trades, but we definitely know he's been a master of none to this point.
Jason, we saw the stat that Josh Jacobs was dead last in the NFL in rush yards over expected, that via Next Gen Stats. Is this the week that they get the run game going?
Certainly they would love for that to be the case, and I think that's going to be a pretty big focus for them. I do think that, in fairness, I don't know how those statistics work. Gabe is more adept in that than I am, and I'm sure you are too, Jen, but like, I don't know, like rush yards over expected. I don't know who decides what to expect, but I would say that my expectation, if you watch, and again, I'm not pretending I'm Johnny film expert, but teams are playing one high safety a bunch, bringing that extra guy down into the box and saying, we're daring your quarterback to beat us. And he has not done it frequently enough for them to come out of that. And so when you have an extra guy to block, the offensive line hasn't been able to do it. And Josh Jacobs has not had a whole lot of running room.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been able to break enough tackles. Remember, and I always think this is important, that's not a complete excuse there. Because, you know, my favorite story about Tausch and those guys back in 03 when Amon Green ran for 1,883 yards was they literally could tell the opponent what they were running, and they could still get 5, 6, 7 yards a crack. So they have to be better up front. They got to give Josh Jacobs a little bit more to work with. I think it's better than – is it Ashton Gentry who had a stat last week where he ran for 145 net yards, and he had 147 yards after contact?
And Josh Jacobs is pretty similar. They're saying that he has averaged 0 yards before contact this year, that 98% of his rushing yards have come after initial contact.
And that goes back to what we were just talking about the offensive line, right? Because the whole idea was they looked at that statistic, which Josh was able to give me before I could finish the question in the spring, and said, we got to think about how good our running back can be if we don't have him having to deal with contact almost immediately. And like nearly 60% of his yards last year were after contact. So again, that's partially significantly on the offensive line and them not scheming up as coaches ways to combat the loaded boxes.
Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. So what I'm hearing, Jason, is in order to try to help open up Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love needs to be better. How do they do that?
Yeah, and look, he had, in fairness to him, like they have hit some balls down the field. I'm not sure they did. I have to go back and look, but I don't know. Did they hit any of them on Sunday when they managed only 10 points? Like I don't think
the Matthew Golden had the 38-yard reception.
Yeah, right. That's the one. Thank you. And that was what was that, fourth quarter?
Yeah, it was fourth quarter.
Third?
Fourth quarter.
So that has certainly been an issue. You know, they had the one downfield to Dobbs in the first game. They had the Malik Heath one in the Commanders game. There's been a couple of other attempts, obviously, that haven't worked. But yeah, that's part of it, right? And Jordan loves to throw down the field, and they feel good about, even though I think those advanced metrics say that he's not great about throwing the ball downfield, they feel really good about what he's able to do there. So they got to be able to do it more and do it effectively to force teams to defend them differently. And they have not done that sufficiently to this point. And I'll be curious, because based on what we've seen from Matt Eberflus's defense in Dallas, this should be an opportunity to do a lot of things well, because it doesn't appear they do much of anything well defensively.
Jason, before we let you go, I read the Spoon article this morning that was talking about how fans were foolish to crown the Packers after 2 weeks of the season. And I don't want to say that I outright disagree with that sentiment, but I prefer my fan base to be woefully optimistic, to be excited about a 2-0 start, to think that their team, with the addition of Micah Parsons, can actually be the team to get over the hump, make a deep playoff run, and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I prefer that to the, oh, Wisconsin sports always has the other shoe drop and things never work out for us. So while I understand the sentiment of like, it's way too early to say this is a Super Bowl team, my gut was like, nah, man, when your team starts out 2-0 and you have all these reasons to be excited, I think you should ride the wave of emotion as a fan. What say you?
Well, look, I've covered the team with Spoon for, well, I mean, he was there before I got there. So this is year 30 of knowing him, and you know, I really respect him. Unlike some others, he is an incredible man of character and ethics when it comes to journalism. So I respect the hell out of him. He and I obviously were talking to Elton yesterday, so we're a pretty good tandem when we're interviewing guys. And I would say that, and I would say this to his face, I'm not saying it behind his back, He sounded a little bit like get off my lawn guy, right? Like he's done this a really long time and he's seen everything, even more things than I have. I mean, he covered the Lindy and Fonny era. So that tells you how long he's been doing it. And so it felt a little scoldy when I read it, but I also thought he made a really good argument. And what I would say is, yeah, you should be excited. I'm never going to tell, ever since telling fans they shouldn't chant the Bears still suck at a team that they might see in the playoffs, I don't tell fans how to fan. I would say that, and I think this is what Spoon's argument was, because I read that column too, and I agreed with a lot of it, is that we have been prematurely crowny for a lot of stuff, right? Including the quarterback. And so I think, you know, maybe the tone was a little off, because I totally see your point, Jen. But I do think that it's important to understand that this is a marathon, and like it's stuff like Sunday crops up and reminds you of that. I mean, remember, you know, again, Gabe, I don't know, you were high school maybe, but like one of the biggest lessons I learned in my first year covering the team, like I was on that 96 teams beat, and it was, you know, they end up going to the Super Bowl and winning it. Like what a way to start my career But I remember a rainy night in St. Louis when they had lost two in a row. And, you know, I'm getting poured on as I walk into the TWA Dome. And they're struggling big time. And that was before the greatest show on turf had arrived in St. Louis. And Doug Evans turns everything around with an interception. But that team is one of the greatest teams in NFL history. They were number one. Not only did they win the Super Bowl, but they were number one in offense and number one in defense. They had the MVP. They had Reggie White on defense. They had Leroy. I mean, Hall of Famers everywhere. And they went through a three-game stretch where they were, for lack of a better term, what Elgton Jenkins said of his own play. And yet, so that's the kind of stuff that happens. They're gonna have another clunker or two, I would predict, too. But, and I think this is the most important thing, they're still a really good team. And maybe they're a Super Bowl team, maybe they're not. But, you know, we got people saying, Tausch put the bet down with Jesse that Jordan Love's going to win the MVP. Well, we can't say that Jordan Love is an MVP quarterback and also say, why do you ponder passing on third and three, trying to end the game offensively because he might throw that interception that he threw? Like, he's got to be better. They've got to be better. But, yeah, I would agree that it was a little more scoldy than I would have probably gone myself, but I thought he made some really good points.
For the record, Jason, I was 10. I believe that was fifth grade when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 96.
Hey, that's what I was in when the Brewers went to the World Series in 1982.
Oh.
So there you go. Fifth grade, red letter time.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Great insight, as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Did you know the Great Midwest Bank is celebrating 90 years of serving southeastern Wisconsin homeowners, 1935 to 2025, a long history of helping families right here in our community. And I've experienced it myself, not just with our mortgage, but our everyday banking too. Checking, savings, even 24/7 mobile banking. It is all so convenient, but still comes with that personal touch that you have come to expect from Great Midwest Bank. Real people who understand your real needs. That's why I trust Great Midwest Bank, and you should too. Find a location at greatmidwestbank.com. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender and member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Talking about your Brew Crew, guys, and if you want to hit up the Pottawatomie Sportsbook before a home game, you can get a free ride to the game or a free ride back from the game. Make any purchase in the Sportsbook or same-day sports bet. You'll get a wristband and a seat on the shuttle. Shuttles begin approximately 1 hour before first pitch. Remember, it's free parking at Pottawatomie. So this is a very easy way to get to and from the ballpark this weekend for the home series. And I assume it's going to be going on during the postseason as well, but I got to check with my friends over at Pottawatomie. You could check for more information at Pottawatomie.com. Bet above the rest. I want to dive into that conversation we were having with Jason Wilde about Tom Silverstein's article, basically saying it was foolish to be crowning the Packers as a Super Bowl winner. And I got to be honest, like, some of this feels a little hyperbolic to me. Some of it feels a little exaggerant. I don't know that we were like, the Packers are going to be Super Bowl champs. No. But I do think, Gabe, after watching their performance in week one and week two with the addition of Micah Parsons, thinking that those are pretty quality opponents, the Lions and the Commanders, pretty quality NFC opponents, it did feel like, wow, you've really checked some stuff off the old to-do list. Wow, this is a team that should contend. And I don't blame fans or media members for being like, heck, this team could really do something and make a deep run.
I don't think anybody gave them a Lombardi. I think it was just a, oh, this team is different than last year. Right. Last year was kind of hopeful, wishing you were the seventh seed. Right. You were the seventh seed. Yeah. Things you took a step forward. You won more games, but you were the seventh seed last year when the quality opponents, when you took them on, you struggled. You were able to beat the Texans. You beat the Rams who weren't at full strength. Those were your two wins against playoff teams. Otherwise, when you played the Eagles, you played the two teams out of your division that made the postseason. You lost all those games. And then, of course, you struggled in your opening round playoff game. So when the big question of this team is, okay, can you beat high-quality opponents? And you do what you did in the manner in which you did it in the first 2 weeks, I think that gets everyone's attention. But again, I don't think anybody was going, oh yeah, they should be number one with a bullet. Everything comes through Lambeau Field. We placed them, at least on this show, amongst a group. Hey, they're with the Eagles. They're with the Bills. They're with the Chiefs, the Ravens, teams like that that we're expecting to be there at the end of the year. They're among that group that should be considered a favorite. But I don't think anybody went, oh yeah, this is a Super Bowl championship team. Hey, could they do it? Yeah, they should be favored to do it. Those can now be the expectations. And those expectations can continue. Jason told the story. Chewy tells it all the time of the Rams game in 96, or even before that when they struggled. Last year, the Eagles lost to the Falcons in week two. Like we used to talk about clunkers early in the season when Rodgers was here all the time. You're going to have these games. Again, you hope it doesn't happen against a team like the Browns, where you should still be able to take care of business, but clunkers happen. And I don't think of what happened on Sunday should damper anyone's expectations of this team either, unless the injuries to the offensive line end up being super serious and incredibly long-term, which it doesn't appear to be.
You know, it reminds me a lot of like the advice you get when you're engaged and you're going to get married and you have some old sage person who has been married for a really long time and they pull you aside, maybe with a beverage in hand, and they say, listen, marriage is tough. Fights are going to happen. You're going to argue. Sometimes you're going to go to bed angry. But it's how you bounce back from that. It's how you resolve the conflict and all of that stuff. And you're going, yeah, yeah. For me, sports, and particularly the NFL being a long season and the parity in the league, means that you're going to lose some games. We talked about it last week. Nobody goes undefeated anymore, right? You got two incidents of a regular season undefeated, and that was prior to the 17-game stretch. So in my mind, this is baked into the cake. This is baked into the marriage. You're going to fight. You're going to lose games. Sometimes there are going to be clunkers like this where you go, do you even know how to play football? Do you even know what you're doing out there? But I don't think that it should be a deal breaker on this being a deep postseason run NFC representing squad. Because I still see a lot of really great things from this team. Are they dealing with injuries right now? Of course. Is the offensive line a little bit suspect, questionable? Yes. But I still feel like they have a lot of really talented players. They have a lot of impressive weapons. And I think that this is a team that people should be excited about. I don't want to do the thing where we're like, temper your expectations, calm your jets. I want people to be thrilled and excited about what this team is capable of.
I will get there if the offense looks this bad again against the Cowboys on Sunday. Because that Cowboys team is stinky. Dan Orlovsky put it out there earlier this week, talking about the Cowboys playing zone defense. It's the worst he's ever seen on tape. Like, this Cowboys team allowed Russell Wilson to have a career high in yards 2 weeks ago. Russell Wilson just got benched. But this is how bad the Cowboys defense is. And I'm not saying Jordan Love has to go out there and throw for career high touchdowns yards. They just have to look better than they did on Sunday. If they look bad, if they look like they did, if the offensive line continues to struggle and they are struggling to score points, then it might be time to hit that panic button to reevaluate whatever the hell's going on offense. But again, like you said, it's about how you bounce back. My money's on them bouncing back, looking really good, scoring in the 30s on Sunday, and putting that gas pedal down, coming out of the bye, taking on the Bengals, and trying to stack a winning streak as we work our way through October and into November.
But one of the things that Spoon said in the article, Joshy, was that like no team is the same team in week 2/3 as they are late in the season. Why aren't the Packers getting that same benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, it seemed to not factor in the Packers' potential for improvement. And I understand what you're saying where, you know, injuries can derail a season. Those things can happen. But did anyone watch the Packers' offense and go, well, I can't imagine they get any more out of these guys? I certainly don't think that's been the case. I feel like they've left a ton of points on the field in the first three games. And what I do feel like is going to happen is that's going to improve. Jordan's going to get better. The offensive line is going to get better, and it's going to get healthier, and they're going to play better, and they're going to be able to use the run game more to their advantage. I don't think we jump to any conclusions as sports commentators or fans of the Packers. I think we saw the writing on the wall, and then we looked at Vegas odds, and they said the same thing we were saying, and it all kind of made sense. None of us were going into this saying, well, this is going to be a cakewalk right into the Super Bowl. There's nobody stopping them.
My two biggest questions right now are on off. Again, it goes down to the offensive line. One, how long is Zach Tom actually going to be out now? Like, and I get it. Obliques are tricky. We always hear that when somebody injures one in baseball, whether it's a hitter, whether it's a pitcher, and they're trying to figure it out. So I'd like some clarity on that. And two, can they put together a better plan for Jordan Morgan?
Yes.
I want him to be able to have confidence. He's going to be the left tackle next year. I feel very confident in that based on him being in that competition this year. They're not going to give Rashid Walker money. Again, you have to make some of those tough decisions as you go along. So let's put together a plan where he can succeed this year and have confidence to succeed next year instead of just bouncing around from every position. Whether that's, hey, you're going to be the swing guard or you're just going to be the swing tackle if somebody gets hurt. Hey, you're going to be right tackle or left tackle. Trying to play all four positions when he hasn't ever played right tackle in an NFL game, I feel like they have not put him in a very good position. And I understand why his head is spinning and how those pre-snap penalties can happen to him.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And I understand why you would give him the nod at right tackle. He's a second-year player. He played really well in the preseason at left tackle. And it's not necessarily fair for a rookie to be getting those shots. But after you've been playing all over the damn place, just give him a spot, let him play. You're going to play either of our guards, or as you said, either of our tackles. A second-year player who missed significant time as a rookie, having to know every single position and then look across from him and it's Miles Garrett? Like, what? What is that? That's not how you get success out of a guy. That's putting him in really bad spots.
Well, jack of all trade, master of none, right? That's the old phrase. A jack of all trades,
as Jason
a master
said,
of none.
I don't know if he's a jack of any trade right now. But again, that's kind of the issue because you're not giving him a specific assignment.
Get better at that. Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line. Caleb from Horicon says, Packers are going to be just fine. There's ups and downs to every football season, and the Packers are only going to get better throughout this year by facing adversity early on. Meanwhile, Kevin in the 224 says, nothing wrong with being excited and having expectations for your team, especially when they appear to be a legitimate contender. We play the Eagles and the Ravens and the Lions, so we'll have a very good read on where we stack up before the playoffs. And I loved this one. Little crossover action here. If you don't get excited and be all in on the Packers, Barry Alvarez will come after you and tell you to go boo in a bar. That from Jerry at in Canton, Ohio. I know you guys talked about that earlier this week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I still don't know if he really backed off what he said in his statement that he made to Polzine.
You don't think Barry's going to say, yeah, I was wrong? Come on, Gabe.
Wait, I don't think he will do that.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. He said, well, I didn't, my tone was basically wrong.
Yeah.
I agree with everything I said, and I'm not going to walk anything back. I just think maybe I said it the wrong
way. Maybe I was too harsh in the way in which I said it.
It was a non-retraction.
800-990-3776 if you want to get in with the show this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people. We can handle a few things here or there, but for the big stuff, the important stuff, we always call our friends over at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. They've been in business for more than 20 years, and you guys know you don't stick around unless you're dang good at your job. PCI is also hiring carpenters if you want to learn more about those opportunities or see some of their work, including, I'm guessing, my basement, which PCI did. Just go to their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, it seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We turn to some funny places for support, don't we? Not everyone is a therapist, though. Not everyone is the one. But you can find your match at BetterHelp. Look, everyone is better when you have a little bit of help. And that means talking to a professional who can help you navigate whatever challenges life is presenting to you right now. I've been doing therapy for 15 years, and man, can I tell when I am due for a session with my therapist. BetterHelp makes it very convenient for you. 30,000 therapists, the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it is convenient. You can join with just the click of a button in the privacy of your home, switch therapists at any time. They are really trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get help. And our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/timeout. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/timeout. Was it foolish, quote unquote, to crown the Packers Super Bowl contenders? Again, not Super Bowl winners, not bringing home the Lombardi, but just contenders. I say no. I don't think it was at all. I think when you get a hot start like that, you come out of the gates, you knock off a couple of NFC contender teams, teams that have given you troubles. I think it's a really good sign. And I think that you should be excited about this Green Bay Packers team and not let the foible against the Browns dissuade you from thinking this is a Super Bowl contender, Gabe.
Yeah, now it's all about how do you bounce back. If you let this linger, then I understand the hesitancy to creep in. But how do you bounce back? Teams put up these all the time. I mean, the Ravens, who could potentially start 1-3, they started 0-2 last year. Bounced back, they were one of the best teams in the NFL, despite starting 0-2, right? Whoever comes out of the Chiefs-Ravens game this weekend is going to be 1-3. They've got a hole to dig themselves out of. So these games can happen, especially early in the season. You prefer that they don't. You prefer that they don't happen, especially as well as they played in the first two games. But they do. And if anybody had an explanation of why they happen when they do, then we'd have a lot more teams go undefeated. You'd be able to solve that riddle going into each and every game. But I think it's a wake-up call. I really enjoy what I heard coming out of the locker room yesterday. Again, the self-awareness of Elgton Jenkins going, hey, I played like bleep. Been playing like bleep. We got to be better. At two a man, offensive line, we got to be better. We just have to be better. So I love hearing that. I love hearing Jordan Love talk about how he's got to be better after they lost in throwing that interception. Hey, we know we got to be better. And that's the right mentality that you have to have. Not just, oh, okay, these games happen. Yeah, as a fan, you can be like that. But as a player, you got to dive into, okay, why did this happen? How can we correct this to try to make sure it doesn't happen again?
And I think the point that you made earlier is actually well made in that a lot of the issues, quote unquote, because they're not enormous, but issues that you have seen pop up, and particularly in the Browns game, are the offensive line.
Yeah.
Right? When we talk about Josh Jacobs and not having the numbers that people have expected him to have and where he ranks as far as yards after contact, a lot of that is because the offensive line is not giving him the alleys to run, is not giving him an opportunity to make plays. And so if they can get that figured out, it is so interesting, though, because I still feel like during the offseason, we thought that this was going to be a position of luxury, that they had so many guys that they were going to be able to move around. But I think that when you said, hey, you got a holdout, you got guys, you're moving them around and they want to get paid. And so they don't play in training camp and they're not getting the reps. And all of a sudden they're a little rusty when they get out there and the games actually count. All of that is on the organization. And they got to figure out going forward if they want to still follow that blueprint, right? Which means that guys are a little slower to getting up to speed when the games matter. That to me is an issue that the league has across the board right now.
Yeah,
because they've devalued the preseason.
And when it comes to Elgton Jenkins, I know it's a specific situation because you don't see guys, again, bone melting aside. It's not like you're asking too many other players to change positions and it ends up being dramatic, but across the offensive line, it can be. And when you're asking somebody to go from guard to center and they don't have any reps in the OTAs or in mini camps, when you're limited in the reps that you can then have in the preseason because you're dealing with a back injury, maybe we should have expected Elgton Jenkins. Maybe that's on us for not expecting Elgton Jenkins to struggle a little bit, just thinking he's going to be good enough to make that transition and it's going to be completely smooth. And him being as honest as he was and being as open, talking about some of the things that he needs to do better and being specific about it with Jason and Spoon yesterday, I think that's just great. That's great self-awareness and a sign to me that this is not going to be a game that lingers for them, that they're going to be able to bounce back from it.
Still a lot of stuff to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We want to talk about your Brew Crew. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up as well, but obviously continuing to preview the Packers-Dallas Cowboys game this weekend and Micah Parsons returning to Big D. All that and more coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.